hope you enjoy.
I'm very excited.
You know what? We'll make that a greatest comic book of all time, and you'll have to read all 2,000 pages in 2 weeks.
You came close. I read this. I mean, it's nowhere near it, but I think it's like 700.
Wait, which one's that? Oh, you. Oh, nice.
Nice. Yeah, and then speaking of clones and D-list characters making their way to prominence, last time we covered the, I guess, infiltration of Secret Invasion, which is just pretty much the build-up. Hold on, I get something dropped in off screen. Oh.
See, I knew it. Just like the Winters on the Skrull homeworld.
Yeah, for anyone listening, I just turned into a Skrull. But so we're going to be covering the main series. And then I read kind of the New Avengers and Mighty Avengers that went along with it.
Yes.
I read them. I skimmed them because I've read them before.
I read the New, not the Mighty. And I think that, I think the New Avengers is essential because, I think they have to be, does that compendium include them?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't do it the way I would prefer, which is interlace them, but it does with the build-up, the infiltration, and then it does the 8 issues of Secret Invasion, and then it does New Avengers, Mighty Avengers. And then it does the Wasp funeral, which I can't remember what that was in. And one other thing, because it's supposed to be like a Bendis on the bus, but I don't know if they include anything else. But we're made so pretty much the plot of what goes on in Secret Invasion, because I guess one of the interesting things is there's no real lasting effect on the universe of Marvel. It sets up Dark Reign, which we know, and then that's kind of the end tease, but I was what could I read after that? And I was like, oh yeah, there's it literally does nothing in the it has no real bearing on it, which is interesting because they touch on other things. I have no real plot line or way to cover it, but I thought the stuff where they actually touch on House of M was really interesting. I thought it was my favorite point. And kind of how being a Skrull within this weird universe affects them. I thought that was probably one of the more interesting ideas, but you kind of see the lasting effects of that on the universe, but it doesn't really that, but I don't know. I guess we should do a brief plot. So when we left off, Elektra was a Skrull, Black Bolt was a Skrull, and that was kind of the big kickoff to the event. And then, there's a ship that crash lands. They catch a Skrull ship crash landing in the Savage Land. And the New Avengers go out ahead of the Mighty Avengers, but they both
tipped off by Spider-Woman, who has up until this point kind of been a member of both teams.
Both teams, yeah, mm-hmm. And Shield and Hydra as well.
she's if there's a secret society, she's been part of it.
Yeah, and so they get there. The ship opens up, and it is all the. And this is where I was really excited, because it was kind of what we're talking about with Crisis and stuff. It was, I don't know what kind of timeline you would set it, but it was pre kind of the Marvel world exploding with, I think, New Avengers, the breakout and Civil War and everything. It was kind of these classic characters, I guess. I don't know how to describe, Mockingbird in her old outfit and.
Yeah, it's also a weird hodgepodge, because you've got Jean Grey, Phoenix, Jean Grey as Phoenix, not as a Marvel girl. And I think White Queen is in there too.
Emma Frost is in there.
And then, like you said, there's Mockingbird. There's a lot of characters who are currently. It's just a weird hodgepodge of characters, and it seems like it's kind of before the new, like, if you want to say, like, if you want to put a stake in.
Not that one.
You want to put a stake in and say, like, Civil War. If you divide key points in the Marvel history, and you want to sort of like pre-Civil War, post-Civil War. These are a lot of pre-Civil War characters. There they are. Look at that Scrum.
It's like early Emma Frost. It's got Spider-Man with the like webbing.
The web wings.
Yeah, you got classic Thor. You got classic Luke Cage. Early Vision. You have
Yellow and Blue Wolvie.
Yeah. What do you have? What is that alias? What was her name?
Was it? It wasn't.
Some power. Oh yeah, I didn't. Remember. Shit, Jewel. Oh no, Gem. Jewel. No.
Was did it? That? Yeah, thank you. I was thinking Julie, but yeah, Jewel.
I never even noticed there in this. Because that's the thing. So they all come out of this ship, and it sets up that like who's who moment, like. Who do we trust? And then it, much like I guess we'll get into with this event, like it just comes to nothing, like absolutely nothing. A dinosaur shows up and stomps on a spider squirrel, and then another dinosaur attacks. And I'm like,
I'll say rereading it this time. So I read it in real time. I thought, like, the thing we have said over and over again, this just was just, like, the ramp up to it was a delight. This was a very fun event. And event comics tend to not actually be a lot of fun. You know, like, it's a lot of, like, having to chase down a bunch of books you don't normally read. And they're sometimes a little, you know, like, they don't always make a great excuse for why they should exist. But this one was, like, it was fun. I think that... the sort of like, who are the Skrulls among us was as you are sort of going through the individual books that you're reading, sort of finding out who they are. Those were all like, they were fun reveals. Like the big reveal of Spider-Woman was like shocking, completely unexpected. Cause she was just she wasn't just a fan favorite. She was clearly the writer's favorite. I just did not see it coming. And then after that, I had trust issues that whole summer, but, the ramp up was great, and then like as the series started to unfold, I think there are so many things that they did right. My memory of this, like prior to reading it again when we talk about it, was like front half a delight, and then the back half a lot of stuff just falls apart. Rereading it, I think that's wrong. I think that's like an emotional reaction, like because I enjoyed the intrigue of it so much more than I enjoyed the resolution. And I think like I had forgotten there's this great like hard to not enjoy fight at the end. Sort of like, I mean, like the battle royale of battle royales. You've got the Skrull army. You have a host of villains accumulated by the Hood. You have all of the Avengers, and they're not like they're giving these like two page spread after two page spread. The Lanil Yu art is. Incredible, by the way. I loved it. I loved it then. I still do.
Yeah.
So I think my initial sort of like front half great, back half falls apart isn't necessarily completely accurate. I think from start to finish, it's still a great story. I just think that there's potential. I think this happened with WandaVision. There's potential in the beginning, like, oh, it could be these different things. And then when you get to the delivery point, like they choose to not go down those paths, you know, and it ends up just being like they're just like, wouldn't it be cool if the Skrulls pulled it off and were able to occupy it? And what if they sort of like, you know, what if people were like, wait a minute, let's hear what the Skrulls have to offer. And, you know, like, what if like for the first half, like their invasion, like is we'll get into this in a little more detail, is very targeted and looks like it's going to work. And so like all of that is great. And it would be like, well, what if it did? And then they're like, well, we're gonna do like a sitcom and everything's gonna go back to status quo at the end. So the things that they sort of raise that would be interesting to sort of explore don't ultimately get aired out. And that's the sort of, it's, the story is great. I think the thing that is squandered is the potential they had, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's, it's easy to, again, when I was reading it, I really enjoyed it. And I think my enjoyment of it carried because I kind of took that, like what I wanted out of it. And like, as a fan, just threw that into Dark Marine. I'm like, okay, well now we're gonna have a whole year and two of this. And then that was again rushed. But reading it again, it does feel like that. Like I read it, and like reading it in one sitting, I enjoy it. But it, like, as you read it, you pick up the things where I was like, okay, I would like that explored more. Okay, I would like that touched on more. And so in this, and I did find it online, I don't remember what site had it, but there's an interview, there's a couple interviews with Bendis, and he was talking about how it was early on, one of his pitches was Secret Invasion, or the idea of a Skrulls. Because so he takes Spider-Woman, and he says, like, right, like early on, that was the target, that was, she was a Skrull queen, or she was gonna be a Skrull, because she is, at the time, was a D-list character. Nobody really cared about her, and her backstory didn't really matter. So it was someone you could play with and bring her into all those aspects, like we talked about, the Avengers and, you know, Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D., and really kind of play with that, because it wouldn't be expected, and it was someone he could have kind of free reign with. And the Skrulls were very much that at the time as well, like this villain in the Marvel U that should be a bigger threat, because, you know, they're like, he references like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like they have this potential, and, you know, they haven't really ever been like a formidable foe. So like, again, we take that route with it, and we take those two characters who are kind of underused, and we build a story around them. And he talks about how he got House of M, like as an event, and which was great. I think House of M is really good. Again, kind of like with any event, stuff's kind of squandered, but I feel like overall is good. He didn't think he would get another event, so he was planning this kind of long-term story to work within his Avengers and stuff run. And then they approached him with like, we should do this as an event. So like, I don't know, you know, take that for what it is, like what he's saying. But so I do think, like, thinking of it as something that would happen, you know, over a course of titles for a long time would be interesting, because I think some of the most interesting things in this are the Avengers and Mighty Avengers, or New Avengers and Mighty Avengers content. Yeah. Things they explore with the Skrulls, their reasoning behind it, their actual, like, mental and thought process with becoming these heroes, and actual kind of like a meta look at the Marvel U, like all that shit is really interesting. And like you said, kind of the early on build up. So when they have the actual like attack, it's so well, like at least in writing terms, I think plotted out. Like they take out all the main hubs, they have someone in place in all the like important areas, and they're not. I was like, and Bendis talked about this in the interview, like, you know, he had more people planned as Skrulls and eventually decided, like, you know, it doesn't matter to the plot. So he didn't do it. And I'm always like, you know, what if Tony Stark was this, like, leading up to it, you're like, I kind of think he is, obviously. And like, I think that's like the play they're going for. But like, when you find out it's like Hank Pym and, you know, Dum Dum Dugan and Elektra, it's like, oh, like, okay. But also, like, it makes sense when you're looking at it. Like, you have all these players in these spots that can pull these things off. And so, like, that initial, like, two issues is really exciting, and I think well plotted. And it's kind of when you get to the rest of it where it feels like they are trying to hit all these ideas. Like you said, there's, like, that little moment where the heroes show up, and, like, there's a few civilians that are like, hey, get out of here, let's listen to these and it is like, okay, yeah, maybe, like, well, like, they don't have time to cover that, so like,
but it's like a pin in that, because that I think there's a so, well, let's do this in order, but don't let me forget that part. I think that the people that they selected as the Skrulls, I think a few of them are just sort of like, you know, you want to rope it, the story into the Fantastic Four, so you put Sue in. Yeah. But I think actually, like, the point you're saying about, like, I think Tony Stark, of all the characters in the sort of, like, Skrull intrigue, is the most interesting one. Because they didn't manage to get him, but they start fucking with his head in a way that is, I think, actually, like, because when, like, the deep paranoia of, oh, you cannot trust these other people. And then when you start to realize that these are your sleeper cells who don't know that they are also Skrulls in some cases, in a lot of cases, then you have to sort of like go through the like, well, can I trust myself? And that is for the most part, like a stone not turned over for the most of the story. I think that happens in Captain Marvel a bit. But with Tony, like the person that they infiltrate with is Jarvis, who through the course of the story proves to be a more effective tool than if it had been one of the superheroes.
Right.
And then when they get to like, the way they try to take Tony out is like, they disable his, with a space virus, we'll just let that one slide, disable, his link to the network. And then they get him sort of like physically, because of the arc reactor, he is physically poisoned, cannot operate his sort of AI and stuff. And then they start telling him, like, wake up, I know you think you're Tony, but you're actually Krill's Vral or whatever his Skrull name. I don't speak Skrullish sense. He's both physically sick and I think he's in cardiac arrest. I'm not sure. He's fucked up. And then they just start hammering him. And that is also sort of like, if you're just reading the Secret Invasion storyline, that's when, like, Spider-Woman sort of makes you reveal. So, like, I think that was actually, like, it's so much better. Like, the story is so much better with him not being a Skrull than it is if they had actually just gone in that direction. And I think with a lot of the people that they chose.
Right. You
know? Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, no. With a lot of people that they chose, like, they're not sort of like, I think, like, for the person you weren't expecting, that they actually pulled the wool over your eyes, they nailed it with Spider-Woman, and I don't think anyone else would have been as effective. And then everybody else is sort of like strategically, actually, I think wise plotting.
Yeah, and I think too, and this is like a symptom of an event, or even like I don't know, but like just kind of like lost because they're covering, I think, so much is so part of that is it would be interesting if Tony was a Skrull. For, I think, as a reader, you're like, oh, like this, he's been so weird.
That explains Civil War.
But like what, Bendis is trying to set up, and he sets up in the Illuminati, and they discuss throughout this, is like the goal is not only, to take Earth and to disable the heroes, but is to get Tony and to get Mr. Fantastic to not only like lose everything, and then they're going to take them back to the Skrull world and put them on trial and execute them. And you see throughout this, like, Mr. Fantastic loses everything early on, like the Fantastic Four building is sucked into whatever, the negative zone. And Sue's gone and the kids are gone and he's captured and he's trying to deal with the fact that he kind of gave them all this information. And then Tony, loses Jarvis, his armor, his network is taken down. He thinks he's like, they're again, like you said, trying to play up that he's a Skrull and trying to make him think that. And then eventually in the end of the book, like, he loses his, position of director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, at this point, he was like running things. And it's like this really interesting, like, again, they almost pull off the two of them, losing everything, and then the Skrulls, kind of taking over. So, like, because they touch upon, like, at one point, like, they have these like Skrull meetings, and she's like, one of them is like, I could easily impersonate Sue, I could kill him when he sleeps. And they're like, no, like, that's not our plan to do that. And I mean, even like little stuff, and it's so, it is like rereading it, I think I pick up on it more, is like a lot of the stuff, like Bendis does a lot of work to, you know, they get Sentry out of the way really quick by that Squirrel Vision, like impersonating the Null, and like they take him out of the picture. Like they did their work to kind of like take out people, like they tried to take out Wanda early on, and you know, they mentioned that in House of Mem, like kill her if you see her. Yeah. And so like they do a lot of work, and it is like kind of sometimes throwaway lines, but they are very important to like, he's clearly, at least if anything, with the right, like I think when I initially heard that, you know, he planned this all out, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And I went back and read a bunch of stuff, and then as the series came out, I was like, well, I'm sure a lot of this stuff maybe he kind of, you know, fudged and but I think he does a lot of work, like whether it was something he was thinking of all along, like it feels like he does the legwork to at least account for a majority of the things he's trying to do. Whether I think they pull off in 8 issues, which again seems like 8 issues is a lot, but I'm like almost like it's not enough. But I feel like he does like, I feel like since this event has come out, I feel like I've been unfair to Bendis in a lot of ways, and I feel like this is one where he does the legwork. Like I think there's a lot of groundwork he sets up to make this work logically in the world of comics, as logically as that could be.
I think this is sort of like high watermark for him. I think the New Avengers, is one of the best like team comic books. I think he did a spectacular job with it. I think this is the, you know, House of M is great. Like in the individual issues are for the most part, I think great. I think this is the last sort of like the last of the really good stories to me. And I did not read a lot. You know, like I also sort of phased out, but not long after I was with them through Dark Reign, and then started to, like things did start to kind of disintegrate, after that, or just, you know, things got pulled in different directions. And I think there's this sort of like Bendis is slowly given more and more of the kingdom in the Marvel universe. I think in a way that, like, because it feels like he was on like 4 books after this, like during the whole Dark Reign thing, he was on so many books. A lot of the books were becoming a little repetitive, and that like the sort of like fun team meeting, you know, full issues of the Avengers that are just team meetings, like that was fun a few times, but then when it was like every comic was that, or many comics were that, it started to lose a little of it, of the like, you know, like, oh, this, and the repetitiveness of some of these, like the stuff with the Red Hood, or I'm not, it's not Red Hood, it's just Hood. You know, like, it felt like he was on this weird loop, you know, where like, he's kind of like a loser who gets surprisingly high and then loses everything and then gets a new set of superpowers. Now these are from Dormammu, and he gets sort of high and then loses everything. Like, you know, like it just like, I felt like Bendis had too much on his plate. And why wouldn't you? Like, they're giving you more and more, like Marvel is giving you more and more. So why would you say no? But I think the work overall suffered from his just being too diffuse across too many titles.
Yeah. And I feel like too, where he really like strides with books, and why something like New Avengers worked, and even Mighty Avengers, kind of this whole time frame for him is, I mean, it's like the joke of like the team meeting and stuff, but like these books were covering topics that worked within that. So like New Avengers was this like small team of people on the run, or like after Civil War, but even prior, it was like dealing with Disassembled and everything. And it was like dealing with these more like weighty issues and less about punching bad guys. And same with Mighty Avengers, was a lot of like, you know, we're the good guys, but like, why does everyone think we're the bad guys? So like those things work. And even I think in Dark Reign, I think Dark Avengers is fantastic. I think it's one of his best books, and it's because of that. Like, it's a lot of little things like Norman Osborn being in charge, but at the same time, like undermining things, and like all that's fantastic. And then he did, I don't remember what it was called, if it was just Avengers, but it was like during the heroic era of Avengers, yeah, prior to Dark Reign, was not good because it was like him trying to do classic Avengers stuff, but also like 50 panels of people talking, and it just didn't work because it was like of a different substance. And that's, again, kind of like him taking on things that don't necessarily work. Like, because the dude's like a classic like noir writer, like he's fucking fantastic in that stuff. And Alias is great. And again, he did the same thing with Purple Man. Like, Purple Man was a nobody character, who he brought to like prominence in Alias, and who is like, then, you know, people think of David Tennant's run on the show and like how fantastic it was. Like, that's all Bendis, like taking a character who he found an interesting aspect of and really warping it into this character driven psychological like horror type thing. And that's, he's really good at that. And like, I think that's where Secret Invasion really works, is him toying with the personal ideas and conflicts. And I feel like where it doesn't is the big battle-y stuff. I don't particularly.
Oh, I gotta say, I was a sucker for the big battles this time around. Like,
I think they're cool. Like, I think the idea of them is cool. It just feels like at the end, it's like all of a sudden, like I'm watching these, like all these heroes fight, and I feel like you just lose the scope of it because early on, it's such a small scope story. Like,
yeah.
And like with, like, again, I think like him focusing on all these different areas that are going down, like, so you have the helicarrier.
So the Skrull ship lands in the Savage Land, and that's sort of like, the Avengers are tied up down there. Meanwhile, the helicarrier is immediately taken out of commission.
I always forget the name of the sword thing.
Oh, the big sword floating space station.
Yeah.
Isn't it just called the sword?
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to look it up, but yeah, that's...
So, that's meanwhile, cool. Up in space, the sword space station... so there's infiltrants, like the Jarvis reveal is at, on the helicarrier. Maria Hill and S.H.I.E.L.D. are tied up there. And then, like, they... I think it's the same space virus that knocks out Tony Stark, takes the helicarrier offline. And then there's this great panel, like it's, you know, like it's literally falling out of the sky, and like jets are flying off the runway. It's phenomenal. Then they disable S.H.I.E.L.D., they disable S.W.O.R.D. Meanwhile, the Baxter Building, you know, the Sue Skrull comes in and opens up the negative zone. The negative zone is just sort of just sucks up the Baxter, not the full building, but like the top. So like things are starting to, like, you know, New York is starting to look a little
the raft and the cube are taken down.
Yeah, like everywhere that there's going to be, I think, I don't know, the X-Men are a little far, they're at the fringes of this story, so we don't really see anything that's going on there. But basically,
you cut. There's like one moment where you see the, like, what's going on in San Francisco, Wakanda, Atlantean, and somewhere else. It's like all the tie-in stuff. You see like a one page where they just cut to that. But yeah.
So once the Skrulls have disabled all of the sort of like the defensive power structures, then they start the actual invasion. It starts in New York. And then you've got, you know, the Skrull occupying force starting to come in. And then sort of in sync with this, they start just communicating, you know, like not only have the Skrulls infiltrated our beloved superhero teams, but Stephen Colbert is a Skrull. So various figures in media just start like, hey, look, I know things are a little scary right now. It's weird what's going on, but we're taking over. And like, aren't you tired of the way things are? Aren't you tired of like strife and war and all the bullshit? And we're like, if things are going to be a little weird for a little bit while we sort of like take things over, but once we're installed, everything is going to be great. Which you know, the thing that sort of I think one of the cooler things that just didn't, one of the cooler ideas that lost steam is that this is sort of a religious, like, this isn't just the Skrulls deciding that they, you know, like, fuck these humans, like, you know, this particular sect of the Skrulls are, you know, they're jihadists, they're on a passionate religious, you know, they believe this is their religion, their god is, has told them through prophecy that, that this is what they were supposed to do, and they are acting on that. And slowly as the story progresses, like in the beginning, that's sort of their way of, you know, like, he loves you is the sort of like weird enigmatic thing that they're, you know, telling people as they you know, assassinate them or replace them. And then slowly that sort of like, that starts to lose steam throughout the story. And by the end, it isn't even like he loves you, it's he loves me. And I'm disappointed in the way that they decided to sort of like unwind that. Because I think the idea of religious extremism is powerful. And also, like, when you aren't here to destroy all humans or kill them, but you're here to sort of like set up a new empire where you rule the earth, humans are allowed to live there in an improved earth because of your presence, you know, like, there are people who would be on board with that, you know, like, there are people who are sort of like, maybe feel disenfranchised from the government and don't like the way things are, and are like, no, let the Skrull speak, let's not be hasty. And I think that is sort of like hinted at, and there's no room or time in the story for them to fully play that out, which is a shame, because I think like that is, I think particularly, I think fits the political moment now more than it does, you know, back in, when it was 2006, is it? 6 or 7? No, totally. It's completely believable that like, and so like, once all these things come together, like the sort of the very effective way that they took nearly all the superheroes out, and the sort of like the, you know, the takeover is going pretty well. Like at about the midpoint, at about issue 5, like it is sort of hard to imagine, like, how do the heroes come back from that? You know, like this looks like not good. And then you're like, if I'm betting, I'm starting to, you know, change who I'm betting for. And that is such a great place for the story to be. And that is, I think, where the story starts to fall apart, unfortunately. Because it's you can't have the bad guys win, apparently. So they have to kind of come up with ridiculous, or not ridiculous. They have to come up with a series of sort of like ham-fisted reasons why this Bendis did his job too well. He kind of plotted too well for the Skrulls, and then did not plot enough for the Resistance. So it makes perfect sense why the Skrulls are successful, and then less sense why they get beaten back.
Yeah. And I think part of it is we talked about, I think it's he makes it important to kind of read Avengers and New Avengers and Mighty Avengers as you're reading it. I think like they explore, well, even the, because this event kicks off by like the banishment of the Queen, and her being kicked out of the Skrull homeworld, and like what that happened, like what effect that had on her. And it really builds up this like kind of Skrull hierarchy with the King, and how like, so they do all this work to, you know, figure out how to infiltrate and how to take over the earth. And what's interesting is that all happens under the King. Like, that's all done that way. Like the whole idea with it, they learn how to clone Reed Richards, and they just keep cloning him until they can get one of these clones to come up with a way that they can infiltrate the heroes without being detected. And it puts like all these like weird scenarios where, like, you know, they torture one of the clones by killing like a Stu and Franklin in front of him, and then it's not working, so they just blow his head. Like, they continually just are killing these like Reed Richards clones, and like eventually they get what they need from one of these clones, so they're able to like infiltrate that way. And so all this is happening, and then eventually Galactus just shows up and destroys the homeworlds, and they all kind of like come crawling back to the queen, because she kind of predicted it. Like, again, there's this religious like prophecy of what's going to happen to the Skrulls and how they're promised the earth and all this. So like it all builds even that way. So now she has kind of all this, you know, ability to infiltrate Earth, and does so now with like this like zealotry that is behind her to do so. And even like the way they become the humans is fucking awesome, where they like fold this like almost like skin over them, and there's this like floating like fire in front of them. And like some of the issues they have them like, because the idea is like they get, not only do they get the like, you know, appearance, but they're also getting the backstory of these characters. They've learned to clone them, they've learned to kind of like get their memories. So like you have like them taking on all of this like life of them. And so there's like some really cool pages where they do that, and there's like tons of these really interesting ideas that they explore in like these side issues, which I guess makes sense. Like it would be a fucking long event if like an issue of Secret Invasion was dedicated to this. But
I don't know, actually I'm going to push back against that, because I, upon rereading it, like, so you asked at the top, like, did I reread the Mighty and New Avenger crossovers? And upon rereading it, like, I think by issue 3, I was like, wait, where's the bit where the homeworld gets eaten? And then like by issue 4, I was like, wait, I remember the reveal. They're revealing that she is the queen to Tony. And I was like, that's not how I remember it. And I was like, oh, those were the crossovers. And so like, I think that they're like, I think those are essential to the story. Like I was like, so that's why I went back. Cause I was like, this is, I think more important than like, if I can reveal my hand a little, I don't love this stuff at the Savage Land. Like, I enjoy that they put it in the Savage Land. I enjoy that there's dinosaurs mucking around and fucking shit up. I think that's like, it's a nice way to sort of spread it out throughout the Marvel universe. So I like it for all those reasons. But I think the sort of this weird ship of people, this weird ship of hodgepodge characters who are just gonna, it's just gonna be this fight between like, you know, like, oh, you get to see the Beast and Ms. Marvel fight or Captain Marvel fight. And that is less and less, you know, like it's always fun to see, but it's, you know, like in a story like this, it's not in a story like this, that's not, you know, like there are other things you're more interested in intrigue than you are in like brawling, or I am, I should say. So, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, cause again, like, so you have that whole reveal, which like, I remember reading it and thinking like, oh, okay, this is how they bring back Cap. Like, this is how they introduce all these things.
Yeah.
And then in the ensuing chaos, they find the body of one of the Spider-Men, because he was stepped on by a dinosaur, which, like, what a fucking, like, bitch way for Spider-Man to go out. Like, the idea is that he would have the powers of Spider-Man instead of stepped on by a dinosaur. So they realize, okay, so, like, some of these are Skrulls, maybe not all of them. And then one of the interesting tie-ins was the one with Cap, where you meet the Skrull Cap and he gets shot with like a trank dart and he reverts back to his Skrull form. And he's like fighting with the idea that he is Cap, like, yeah, I am Cap. And then it does this like history of like, he's this like great Skrull warrior and he becomes Cap, and like that's just like, it's like a really interesting thing. And it just like cuts back to him like dying on the ground as like a Skrull, and like that shit was interesting. But like the rest of it is like, as soon as they can get out of there, they're like, let's get out of there. Even like, I don't know, the stuff with Hawkeye and Mockingbird is really interesting.
Yes. Yeah. But,
which again, like that's just a cool moment, and it's like, it's so short because it has to be in that, I guess, in that instance where he shows up and he has like a gun that can turn, revert them back to their form. But like that was like, you buy that. Okay. Like this is Mockingbird, But then, so then it's like, oh, these Skrulls have that level of infantry that they know it. But that's, again, it's just like.
Well, pause there, because like they, so in the melee, there's Mockingbird, and Mockingbird in our universe is dead. So Clint is sort of like, he does the dumb thing that like people do in zombie movies where they're like, oh, this looks like the person that I love, therefore I'm going to abandon reason. And, you know, they do this sort of thing where he's like, all right, what, they have a secret, like if we're ever, you know, if we ever have to prove who we are to each other, tell the story. And so she tells a story, which, by the way, doesn't seem like it's that, you know, like something, you know, like I think like on a good night, Friday night out, getting margaritas with the girls, she would probably tell the story. So I question Clint, you know, like, I don't know that this is the safest story. She tells the story. So he's like, he's satisfied. He's like, no, this couldn't be a Skrull. This is Mockingbird. And then, like, as you say, Reed, once he sort of regains his senses, I love the stuff with him all just stretched out. Like, all this stuff is really great. When he regains his senses, he just makes a gun that, like, reveals who's a Skrull, who these new Skrulls are. And he sort of, like, goes down to the Savage Land, shoots it, and then suddenly, like, all these people who've been like, we're not, including Mockingbird, are revealed. So, like, Clint goes through. And I think it is a great moment because you have this sort of, like, they took a specific, like, no, 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 she's fine, she's fine. And then he's like, oh, fuck. Let me ask you, though, can I pull us off track for a bit. How do you feel about good guys killing people?
Oh, like when, yeah, it's interesting that they're, because they're Skrulls, they have no, there's like no real issue with just like straight up murdering them.
And it's not like you have some dark character, like not dark, but like
Widow, like guns down Tommy. You're like, okay, like
Wolverine, Black Widow, yes. They, but like
they try, they, what's so weird is, so they do the Mockingbird thing, and then later on, Black Widow does a code word with Wolverine.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, Bendis is so repetitive. Like he, yeah. Like you've already sort of pulled, like it's another version of the same thing. It's just, I don't know, like, you gotta like more of that was seeping in, and I love the guy. I love the guys. But you've deployed that technique. You know what I mean? Like, but sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah, but yeah, there's a lot of like unabashed like murder, like
yeah,
which is like, I mean, again, like it's such an interesting thing because it. And it's set around this, you know, time of George W. Bush and like no problem killing like, you know, people in turbans over there. So like, yeah. We don't like Spider-Man has no real like qualm. It seems like okay. So it's heroes in this setting where, you know, they're fighting off an invasion, so is that okay? I guess so.
I don't quite know it's an invasion. I mean, they know that like shit's up, but like it's a little early on. Yeah. I think the conceit that like, you know, Batman wouldn't kill somebody because of a sense of honor or moral code is like, I think you have to push at that, you know, and press at it and sort of examine it. Like it I think it's more interesting storytelling, but I think you have to. I think it's an interesting question whether heroes kill and under what circumstances. And I think like it's good storytelling to examine that. I think so, like I'm fine if heroes make decisions to kill. Like I'm not prudish about that. But I don't like it when it's willy-nilly, not because like, oh, this isn't what heroes would do or any of that stuff. It's just like it's sloppy, it's lazy, it's not, you know, like, and in a war, like it'd be one thing if they were robots. You know, or I don't know. Now our robot overlords are going to be like, fuck Jack Foster. But, like, it'd be one thing if they were robots, but they're not, they're aliens. And, like, and in some cases, they're not even 100% sure that they're not the people.
that's such an interesting, because, like, there could be the argument whether they know and they're playing up that to not get killed. But the Mockingbird moment is so visceral, where she looks and she's like, what's wrong? No, it's me. Like, so is it a moment of like she's still playing that? But even then, because they explore that with Captain Marvel, where he learns he's not Captain Marvel, but he wants to be a good guy, which, and they work that into the main series because they have Norman, which is a weird moment where they have Norman Osborn counseling him on like that. And like, you know, you get to be who you want to be. And like, so yeah, they have that, they have the character who is a Skrull who's implanted there and chooses to be a good guy and help the heroes. But then these other ones, they're like, no, you don't get that. Like, you don't get that choice. Like, which, yeah, I mean, again, it's a comic, and it's what's even like watching, to veer off a little, is like, I'm like, I love Falcon and Winter Soldier. I think it's like an amazing show. Yeah. But there's like a lot of like willy nilly killing in that show where I'm like, because,
okay, yes, there is, but yes, but I think we are supposed to, like, part of wanting like Bucky's, like, part of following Bucky's therapy is knowing the cost of this. Yeah. So I think that there's a way in which, oh, you want to see, oh, you want to see him go and kill? You want to see him in kill mode? Like, okay. You know, like, there's a little bit of the, I think the show is a little meta because it's like, we'll give you this thing that you expect from these movies, but you have to think of the cost it is costing this character. And I think that is actually, I think that is why that series is so fucking good. Like, because they're not being, I think they're interrogating the idea rather than just giving into it. I mean, they're having their cake and eating it too, because they also get to have these great fight sequences.
Yeah. Well, even, and again, I mean, it's like, I don't expect, it's like when people like dock these things for, you know, their, I guess, their political view. Like, I don't expect, I don't want my like overall political like thought and theology from a Marvel show. Like, I don't go there for that, not because like I don't want that in those, like I would like them to do that, but also like I would like them from, you know, better people. Like, I go to, you know, historians and stuff like that. Like, but like, I like how they were like early on, it was like, you know, the Flag Smashers, you know, they're bad, but they, and you're like, well, they just seem to want to help people. And then they, like, you know, Sam, who is an African American in America, is like, hey, like, no, like, America doesn't fucking care about me. And like, maybe they're right. And like, I was like, okay, like, they seem to be getting it, like, coming around to, because like the first episode, you're like, oh, they want like a world government. And like, okay, maybe that's, maybe they're the bad guys. But like, they seem to, they smartly seem to know, like, there's a conversation to be had around that and have come to that, which is, I think, is really interesting, and I've been enjoying.
Everything you said, plus
it's an interesting, I think it's, I, again, we've talked about it before, like, I think it's better than WandaVision.
Oh, by far. I think Bucky is a very complicated good Scarecrow's guy, and all the bad guys is from Zemo across the board. I mean, all the, you know, for the world, the Flag Raider, I guess we're including Captain America, or not Captain America, but U.S. Agent as one of the bad guys. But, you know, like, they're all complicated. I was interested where I thought they were going to go in a different direction with U.S. Agent. I like where they're going. I think it's a more pointed set. You know what? This isn't a, you know, listeners, you can get your Falcon and Winter Soldier content at 500 different podcasts. So, to just go back, the Mockingbird moment is I think great. I think it's an open question whether they are still faking it, or if they, some of them think that they are the people that they believe themselves to be. And the fact that Clint kills her mid, like in the middle of that process, is not a great look for Clint or any of the characters. I'm going to let that rest because I don't think it's a thing to get hung up on, but it was unsettling to me in a way that, like, and again, not so much unsettling because that stuff bothers me as it is, it's sloppy. The sloppiness of it is unsettling more so than that, you know.
Right. Well, and again, I think it's sloppy where, again, I think it's an interesting idea, and it's an idea that Bendis tries to tackle. It's just, he doesn't have the, he doesn't have the real estate to do it in
What do you think of Varanki? Like, just her as a character.
I think she's really, I mean, again, and this is over the space of, I think you have to count all of Avengers, Mighty Avengers, and everything. I think she's a really interesting character throughout that. Again, this person who, it's the idea of like these villains who aren't, you know, a good villain is someone who's doing, I think, something. I don't mean a good villain in the way of like they're good, like a quality villain in the way like they're doing the thing because they believe it to be right and not, I think, for, you know, personal gain or whatever. Like, I mean, you look at someone like Zemo, like we talked about, like, you know, whether his motives or whatever, like, he generally seems to believe that, you know, having power in the hand of those who don't deserve it or aren't worthy of it is bad. And that's kind of what you get with that.
No, Zemo, if Zemo was in Lord of the Rings, he'd be the guy saying, destroy the fucking ring. He's the elves.
Yeah. And I think, like, so, like, with her, with the idea is, like, we, you know, we predestined to get Earth and not even necessarily, like, going to Earth to destroy it, is to take it over and kind of integrate in there with the people. And obviously they feel they've been slighted by these heroes, which, you know, I don't know if you can really disagree with, like,
Well, of course you say that because you're a Skrull, but I will say, yeah. I also, like, Reed and Tony are wrong, and, you know, turning those Skrulls into cows and then having them be made into hamburgers is fucked up. So, like, do you take over a person's homeworld because of that? That's for other people to debate, but it doesn't mean that it's okay.
Well, I think that's where it's interesting, again, kind of changing it from the king to her, because the king, while still, again, like, being slighted because, like, he brings that up where they, you know, they changed my relatives into cows, like, but, like, he seems to be more motivated in the kind of conquest sense, but, like, having his world destroyed and it kind of being then switched to this queen who was banished by her own people and now has this way to bring her people back to prominence and with this, you know, world they deserve, and she, you know, really throws herself in this plan. Like, I found that really interesting, and, like, throughout the timeline she is, like, really struggling with, like, the House of M stuff is so fucking interesting with her. Like,
yes, it is.
Like, she seemed to be, like, really, and that was, like, a turning point in the thing where, like, they switched to, like, they need us here, like, this world is fucked up. Like, they discussed that, like, House of M, like, holy shit, these people should not have this type of power. Like, they should be welcoming us here. And, like, it's something, like, even that with, like, Pym struggles, I think, like, he almost, like, struggles to know who he is when House of M happens, and she kind of brings him back, but she seems to struggle with it as well. And it's like a really, again, interesting, like, side story that they just touch on. And that's the stuff that, like, I felt like was done way better, because I think it's more in kind of Bendis's wheelhouse.
No, I think it's in that. So they just basically, they retell, now that we know the Spider-Woman is Varanki, they retell Spider-Woman throughout the course of New Avengers from the Varanki, with the Varanki's perspective, which I'm going to actually, so the book that brought me, not the book that brought me back, but the book I entered in on New Avengers on, was, like, way late, but it was that Spider-Woman issue where I think she's sort of, like, it was like a solo issue. It's kind of late in the run. It's in the 20s, I think. And she's sort of like, she's this person with a lot of different allegiances. She's sort of like, she's been in Hydra. She's been in S.H.I.E.L.D. She has this sort of, I can't remember if it's Steve Rogers or I think it's Steve that she's sort of like, and it's a great book. I think Bendis, like, just loves that character, and he gives her, like, so it's all from her sort of, like, her point of view. And it so, like, I was a little aggravated that they made her, because I was like, you can't have this sort of, like, you know, the vulnerable, you know, self-analysis of a character, and then you sort of, like, four issues later, like, psych, she was a Skrull. Undermines the other. But apart from that beef, when they go through and they show, like what her perspective was as Varanki throughout the whole thing, and then in House of M, when everything gets fucked up, like, which I thought it would have been a nice moment if she, you know, recharged as a Skrull. But it doesn't, you know, missed opportunity, but not lost. So yeah, no, those are great. And I don't know if it's because she's Spider-Woman, but I think Bronchi is a great villain, like you said, because of the zealotry, but also like she's smart, she's capable, she gets really closer than Doom. I kind of wish they hadn't killed her at the end. I mean, killing her sets up everything that comes after, but like she would have been she should have had a longer reign.
Yeah, and I mean that's something and that's where it feels like everything. So like, you know, Mr. Fantastic shows up. Who helps him out? Is it
Brand?
Yeah. So
there are these cool air bubbles. From the spaceship, and there are these cool air bubbles, and she gets back in, and her use of knowing Skrullish,
that was cool. Yeah,
and she's able to pass off as a. Either way, it doesn't matter. Like they just start to undo all the traps that they have set. They start to undo. Maria Hill kind of outsmarts. Maria Hill outsmarts Jarvis in the dumbest damn way. Brand frees Reed. Reed then makes so the great thing is that like these were by means of magic or telepathy or Logan's scent or anything, they could not figure out that these were imposters, which is such a great it just opens up a lot of possibilities of like these are just slipperier than you've ever had to deal with. And then to just say like, oh, I made a ray gun and it just instantly exposes them is it's a cop out, and it makes me mad still 10 years later.
Yeah. Well, again, especially to like all the work they do to set up the kind of failure of Reed Richards in the series, and then to have him like do it, but like yeah, and because then it just boils down into like the superhero fight, which is cool, and like they have moments where like, you know, Thor shows up and Bucky shows up in the mantle, and like so they're bringing all that stuff to, like, and as someone who was reading Secret Warriors and like a huge stan for Nick Fury, like all that stuff was cool, and like having him come in and be like, because that's something again they address throughout the series is like, this is our like hit list. These are our people we need to get out of the picture, and like Fury's on there and all that stuff. So like, I feel like Bendis tries to set all that up, but then it just boils down to like a fight, and I guess we talked about like the end is so. I love Dark Reign. I think Dark Reign is fantastic, at least in the terms of Dark Avengers and the idea of you know, a villain taking over, like the very much like Lex Luthor president type thing. But how it gets there, I still never, like, Wolverine is literally about to like cut her head off, and then like, people, and I get it, it's on TV, but like, how does that get to, like, he was just in charge of the Thunderbolts, which was a disaster under the Ellis run, like, I don't know. It's interesting. Like, I'm glad it gets there because, like, I find that very interesting. Like, the Dark Illuminati, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah. The weird, Cabal.
The Cabal, that's it. Yeah,
it's weird... I didn't know that. I looked them up because I was like, Namor is... isn't Namor supposed to be here? And then when I looked them up, I was like, oh, they're called the Cabal. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, Cabal. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a weird group of B-list minus Doom villains.
No, I think, not B-list, I mean,
but like
I
anti-heroes.
Think, yeah, I think Emma Frost, there's a place for Emma Frost there. Why you would put Emma Frost over, like, there's a place for Emma Frost there because she's a stand-in for Xavier, but why you would put her and not Magneto is...
I think with Emma, they try to like do it as like, I'm here so... X-Men can, like, because Scott won't do those things, and I'm here to like cement our place away from them, but like, yeah, it's like a weird, yeah.
And then I've said that I think Hood is a fun, like, Hood had one fun arc
I love, yeah.
But I also think like I he doesn't like talk about one of these things is not like the other. Also, he's not a power broker in the sense that anyway, that's quibbling. That's for another episode. So the melee, I think the melee is fun. I think it's fun to look at. It's nice to see characters in these sort of big sprawl, you know, scrums. It's a very disappointing ending to the story. And I just want to like, two things that stand out to me. I think it's hastily wrapped up, and the sort of moment when the entire Marvel universe turns on Varanki is creepy, and I don't think that there's a nice way to think of it. You know what I mean? I don't think that there's a like it's sort of like mob mentality, but then when the mob is a mob of superhero. Like, I think if I was a New Yorker during this event, and it was like before people started invading, you already had like five or six crises on the island of Manhattan anyway, from like the negative zone, and like, you know, like I would be like, I don't know that superheroes should live near civilians, especially in highly populous cities. Like, would you please leave? Like, you know, like this is, you can't have negative zones on the island of Manhattan. That's insane. And then like at the end, when they're so like, you know, like when they become a mob, that's even creepier. Cause like, how do you police a mob of like Avengers? There's a nice moment where a lot of lost Avengers return, and like, it's sort of a, I mean, they're nice, you know, they're nice moments you enjoy in comics. Way too, for no reason, decides to hover like, you know, like he does over seminal events. Oh, yes. And it was a completely lost opportunity to not have him be a Skrull.
Yeah. Or like, so, or like another, because they throw like, there's like a couple of Skrulls that look like Galactus.
Yes.
Like, is a statue, or statue like punches one at one point. But yeah, and like the way, like, it is very weird that you have this very prominent at this point, like, kind of, you know, princess or queen of this world, and, you know, Hawkeye just fucking puts an arrow through her jaw, and like, she's like, there's that panel where she's kind of like in the full the foreground over the like background panels. And like, her jaw's like hanging off, and she's reverted at that point. She's got like cuts on her, and she looks like a zombie. And I'm like, this is like really unsettling. Like,
yeah, no, it is disturbing. And that is when they're about to pounce.
It's a weird moment.
Also, one more thing on the Hawkeye shooting her through the head, like, for war crimes, the Skrulls wanted to bring Reed Richards and Tony Stark back for a trial. Like, they specifically did not want to kill them to have them stand trial. So Skrull, you know what, Kyle? I've been picking on you for being a Skrull the whole episode. It turns out, who's the more human? The Skrulls.
They didn't even kill, I mean, not that I can think of, but they didn't kill any of the heroes either, right? Everyone that they captured or they infiltrated.
Okay, so that is the worst part. Like, that is the sort of, like, it's been a flawless, not flawless, that, and now I'm insane, but it's been a fun... It's been a fun ride so far, but at the very end, all of these people who've been missing are all in sort of like one, like in like a space shuttle.
Like hovering over.
I mean, it's like, A, wouldn't these people, like, I don't think Black Bolt is in there, but it's, you know, it's a bunch of very powerful people. Wouldn't they be able to figure out how to get the fuck off of a...
He was somewhere, because that's the...
War Kings, right?
And it's like them going after him. But yeah, but like, to your point, like, they didn't kill any of those people.
No, they fucking didn't. Which also is cheap. It's like, if the cost of this is the people who've been supplanted are dead, you know, like, that's the stakes are very high. And then if you're gonna just, it's okay. I mean, it's comic books, so we expect that these are not going to be permanent changes. But if your resolution is, you know, in the last two panels, that sort of like, oh, and everybody was fine. Like, have the people go off separately, and they're like, have Reed go on a journey to find Sue. Have, like, you know, like, where did these people, like it is, it's a, I don't understand it at all. It's cheap, and like, it's cheap, it's lazy, and And then, like, the whole cost of this war, well, I mean, I guess Janet, RIP, for 10 fucking minutes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Janet is, like, one of the biggest, like, fridgings where they kill her for seemingly no reason. Like, she's not even that big of a character in it.
No, she's a tiny.
It's almost like an insult to having, because like Hank is one of the bigger like Skrull plants, and that whole thing with like the way they supplant him is interesting. But so they just like blow her up or whatever they technically it does, and then they have to have the funeral issue where it's like Hank being sorry, thinking it's such a weird thing to throw in at the end. It's because, like you said, because they need a character death, I guess. And why not kill, or why not have the people who are gone be gone? It reads weird where, again, it's like it kind of takes the wind out of the sails. And it also, like, so did the Skrulls did they kill anyone? Like, they essentially just took these people prisoner. Okay, I mean, like, we're... Again, it feeds into, like, are they real? I mean, they are they're trying to take over the Earth, but, like, you know, whenever we find out that they're Skrulls, they just fuck them, shank them, no problem. Like, they just kill them, no.
Like, no, they're
because everyone, like, everyone that was infiltrated died a horrible, horrible death. But, like, the people who got taken over are fine. They're just, like, up on a ship, like, hanging out. Like, no problem.
Yeah, no, just chilling. No, it's for whatever reason, they separate Black Bolt, and it goes off on a side adventure, and then everybody else, including Mockingbird, who wasn't a Skrull replacement. Like the fact that she's up there.
The ship, yeah.
Yeah, also doesn't make any sense. It's
Cap and, like, you know, Emma Frost. It's like the play up what they did, but I don't know. I think one of the interesting things you were kind of talking about, like, so I was a huge fan of the Earth's Mightiest Hero cartoon. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Is that the Avengers one from
it's the good one where they follow comic storyline. It's the one prior to the Disney takeover. So in that, they said they do a Secret Invasion storyline.
Oh, I've never seen that.
They set it up. So, like, I think it's at the end of season one, they reveal that Cap is a Skrull, or Cap gets switched out. And then they do, like, you know, 10 episodes where it's setting up a bunch of stuff, and they do a Secret Invasion story arc. And so they do an after, like, it continues for a long time after that. But they deal with Cap. Cap was the Varenki of it. So, like, they deal with Cap now being back. It's the same thing where he was traded out, so he's still alive. So he comes back, and people don't trust him, even though they know it was a Skrull. Like, he was the face of this invasion, and so, like, you know, and it's something he kind of has to deal with, and, like, you know. They, like, come to him and say, like, you know, people know it was a Skrull. He's like, but he had my face. Like, he had my face. And, like, it's something he deals with, like, for a couple of episodes. It's a kid's cartoon, but it's, like, really good. But and they kind of do that with Spider-Woman, but at the kind of the double-edged sword of having a character like Spider-Woman be the queen is, like, people also don't give a shit, like, later that Spider-Woman was the queen. So, like, that was an interesting, like, that's just something this cartoon took that, like, very small idea they touched on with Spider-Woman. I think in the final issue, they build upon it within that, like, the people who were traded out, how do they deal with, you know, them being other people? But they don't really deal with that, I think.
They don't. And that was the sort of thing that I like, that really great episode, or the issue of Avengers with Spider-Woman and her sort of... you know, her complicated backstory and her complicated relationship with people because of that. Like, I was like, oh, that person was somebody else. Like, I don't even know this girl. Like, I don't know this Jessica Drew. She's not been around for, like, 10 years. So, like, I although I'm okay with him not like, I mean, I guess I disagree. I think that, like, I mean, I agree with you 100% that, like, arranging it so that, like, Harry Osborn puts a cap in Frankie before anybody else gets to, sort of positions him as, like, he's, you know, like, oh, this guy's great. He's a hero. And I kind of, like, in the sort of, like, in the, as we have seen playing out politically for a while now, like, assholes who do what the mob likes get rewarded for that. So that story is prescient. And I think that, like, the place they go with Dark Reign is fun. Not fun. It's not. It's a different kind of fun. So I'm glad for where the story goes. Like, I'm. It's okay that they didn't linger in Secret Universe land and they just moved on to the next set of events. Like, that doesn't. I don't actually have a problem with that. And because I kind of leave with a bad taste in my mouth towards, like, you know, like, if you're going to do these things, if you're going to have, like, if you're going to run a year-long occupation, if you're going to have a lot of people on the side of the Skrulls, you know, and if you're going to have, like, the Hero Universe disabled for, you know, an extended period of time, then I would love to have the series go on for a longer. But if you're just going to sort of, like, well, that happened, and now,
yeah,
now everything's fine. And, by the way, all the missing people are back. Yay! Then, like, all right, then, you know, like, if you're not going to take it seriously, I'm not going to take it seriously, so what's next? I know, but this opens a question for me that I've had for a long time. Kyle, in the IRL, what does Harry Osborn, Harry Osborn's hair, Norman Osborn's hair, what does it look like?
Yeah, have they formally, like, it's, I mean, it's gotta be what? Like, it's corn, like, I think they've addressed it's corn, like, it can't be cornrows, like, I.
What it is, can't be cornrows.
I just assume it's like a Brillo. No. I don't know. It's just William Dafoe with me at this point.
So I don't know. I mean, I've seen versions of that hair. I think that they're, it starts to become like, it starts to enter a weird place. But I've never understood why they, like, why does he look like that? And why didn't they just retire that look? Does he look like that still?
I'm trying to think of, I don't know if I've read anything recently with him in it. I have, like, a poster book my kids bought. Yeah, but it feels like one of those things where, like, it fit, like, like Steve Ditko, like, the way he drew for that aesthetic. But I don't think he necessarily was going for, like, a dude that looked like he was having, like, cornrows. Like, and I think they were just like, oh, let's carry that over. And it's slowly, like, as we've entered the realm of more realistic art, for comics, they've had to address, I don't know, like, why just change it? Like, it just has, like, brown hair.
Yeah, I think it's, like, it's tricky because I think it's so closely connected. Like, it's how you know it's him. Especially because, the whole Norman Osborn thing, he's not in, you know, clearly not in, you know, well, trying not to be in costume. They have a similar problem with Crystal in that I, like, is her hair dyed? Is that a hair piece? What is that?
Are you saying this is a black? Is it a,
yeah? Like, is it something that she wears over her hair, or is her hair dyed in this sort of interesting way? I think there's a similar thing with magic, where, like, are those? What is that? is it a headpiece? Are they horns? I think they're cool. Norman Osborn's hair is not cool, but, like, the magic and crystal things are cool. It's just like you said, like, when you try to figure it out in the real world, it's confusing. And, like you were saying, like, sometimes artistically I'll look at things and think, like, how would you draw? And I was like, I will. I'm not going to draw this the way that it looks. That would be, I would get in trouble.
Well, it's like one of the covers to the newest Daredevil, I think it's issue 30. Because in the current story arc, Elektra has taken over the mantle of Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like a really, costume design is fucking awesome. And it's this cover where she's, like, kind of sitting on a building in the costume, and she's, like, holding the mask, and she has her, like, huge ass, like, Elektra hair, like, blowing up. And it's, like, a beautiful cover.
Yeah. And I've seen that, by the way. That is
great. Yeah. And it's like, that's awesome. How would she put a mask on?
No, she shaves it up to, you know, like, it starts from here and then just comes out.
don't know. But so, like, what are we? I mean, we don't really rate things on the show. When we've talked about how, like, when we talk about older, like our older picks, like, does it hold up? I guess is where we've generally gone.
I would say. Oh, go ahead. You go first.
Me? Yeah, I think it does. I mean, again, especially kind of reading it. So I'm reading it in the. I'm reading it in the Secret Invasion Omnibus by Bendis format, which is nice because everything's contained in there. Outside of, there's no tie-ins, there's no like team tie-ins. All his tie-ins are in there, but it doesn't have like the X-Men or and all that stuff. But majority of those aren't good or important. Outside of the Captain Marvel one, I think is a standout.
Yeah,
but. Reading it all in that, it was great. Like, I thought it was still really fun to return to. It's a lot of, like, you know, hindsight and, like, what ifs and, like, stuff I would like. And or reading it now, I'm like, oh, I wish they expanded on that more. But, you know, again, it was, you know, 12, 15 years ago. So, like, you know, that's different. But I think it's good. I wish – it's weird, and we talked about it at the beginning, like, that it has had no – real like resonance outside of it was an event, like it wasn't something they ever really gone back to. It would be interesting, and maybe now with the TV show it is something they'll be forced to kind of address in the world, because even like talking about, like, you know, Spider-Woman is now, Jessica Drew is a, you know, a main character. She's like a A-tier character in the Marvel universe, and to have this character who a big chunk of her history or life was not really her, like, I know they've addressed it, but like, it's an interesting thing. I don't know how often. I'm trying to remember, I read quite a bit of the Dennis Hopeless one where she was pregnant, which I really liked, but that wasn't something they touched on in that. But so maybe there's like room for them to come back. I don't know if Skrulls have really come back. Can't think of it.
No, but I'll tell you what. Here's, like, I think if there had been a significant death, even the insignificant. Sorry, Wasp. Even the insignificant death that they engineered didn't really have any staying power. So I think any death that they had sort of, like, if there had been a big event death, you know, like, those aren't. They don't really upset the status quo because it's only a matter of time before they're back. So I think a more interesting thing that could have had a more lasting impact would be to set up a Skrull nation, you know, like, you do have these refugees, and I think, you know, there've been other situations, you know, like, I mean, I think my knowledge on this is like, you know what, I'm not gonna. There have been other situations geopolitically where you have a refugee crisis and you resolve it by giving them a place to live. And, you know, it would have been interesting to, like, hey, we don't like that you tried to take over the planet, but, like, we understand you have no place to go. So here's your little Baltic island. you know, set up shop. And I think that would have been something that, like, existed outside of, you know, beyond the events, and also would have, you know, there are these different factions within the Skrull Empire, and I think it would have, I would have liked to have seen that play out. I'll do that part. And then I also, like, I think on rereading, I gave it a thumbs up before, mostly because of the experience of it. I thought it was a fun experience to go through. Say what?
I'm looking at it. I forgot there was the fairly recent Empire event. I didn't read it.
So. Oh, you know what? I completely ignored that because I don't like that character.
Oh, you don't like Hulkling? Yes.
Do not. But, no, I shouldn't.
Yeah, so I think that I don't think it addresses Secret Invasion. I know it addresses Kree Skrull and that stuff. So maybe I'll have to skim through that at some point. But I don't have to. I don't
know. No, you're obliged. No, I think it's great.
and I'm forced to buy
it. Totally holds up. I think it's a fun ride. I think it's actually a fun ride to sit in, like, in one. I took two installments and soak it all in. I think the art is great. I would say do not skip do it like you did. I think the omnibus is probably the best way to do it. I still love it. And I think I like it a little more. I think I got mad about some of the stuff at the end. And, you know, on the second pass, it's not so bad. I mean, I'll never forgive that spaceship and the because the 3D man, not to be a weirdo, the 3D man can see Skrulls. And it's like you've got one person on the Earth who could possibly be the solve for this, and to not tap, like, that's a Chekhov's gun that you don't pick up later. So I just like.
And they even like have him there, like they.
Yeah, I know you're laying the pipe. Why don't you commit to it?
Yeah, and I feel like too much like this, and I mean he's been present in a lot of stuff, but like much kind of like where this is just kind of I guess like faded out. Like I remember this like being like, oh man, like. Lionel Yu is going to destroy everything going forward, and like he's done stuff, but I feel like in the world of like I don't know current comic books, I don't feel like he's on as much as I see. But I'm looking at it now, I guess he is. But like I remember reading this at the time, and I had read a bunch of his work before, but I just remember like reading this and just being like a showcase for like Lionel Yu being like a fucking beast.
Yeah.
He just fucking shadows everybody. It's so good.
No, it's the last. I mean, I think the fight, like I said, thematically the fight is not fun, but artistically, because he's doing so much work. He's got all the characters, which is, you know, 50 some odd characters, and then he's also creating these sort of like Skrullish. You know, they're not full hybrid. You know, they're not fully resembling other characters. Like. He's like, I can't believe, and then like delivering, like the, you know, the stuff is great. It's hard. It's like, oh, it's just sour grapes to not enjoy this. It's so fun, even though it's a very Marvel third act problem way to get out of the situation setup.
Yeah, and that's general.
Yeah,
but yeah. So then. Like I said, with our new format, next week it will be a pages episode, but we'll be back the following with kind of our return to form at this point with either new or older comics. But whoop, not doing event stuff. But I do know, I think before I get into that, you have current news on some stuff you're doing. I want to make sure
I'm pregnant.
Oh no, Jack.
I got knocked up. No, I'm kidding. Thank you. I do.
Twins? Oh, no, that's not twins. What's the one with? What's the one where he's pregnant?
Oh, Junior. That's
Is that Junior?
It's Junior, right? Or it's not Kindergarten Cop. No, if I can do a little log rolling, I am part of a comics anthology called Yule. Not Yule, like you will. Although Yule, an anthology of, they say they're like horror stories set around Christmas. I think it's more like weird tales. They take a lot of like, so it's a bunch of contributors. Each one takes a kind of like, sort of a weird Christmas tradition. Weird relative because they're, if you're from the place that they do this, it's not weird to you. So everybody kind of takes an interesting Christmas tradition and tells a story, and because I think a lot of the stuff around Christmas, because it's the cold time of the year, it's darkness prevalent, they tend to be a little dark. Mine is there's an interesting tradition in Venezuela where the full tradition is that people roller skate to church. In a lot of Southern American countries, Christmas is a lot more religious than it is, you know, like, I think, like, here we think it's like it's for kids and it's about presents and it's a, you know, kind of a commercial thing, but there it's a lot more about like going to mass and you know, because they're like
birth of Santa.
Exactly. And three wise men came to Santa Claus and Mrs. Kringle. So they ride roller skates to mass, but kids will tie a bell, like a little bell, to their toe and then throw that, like that bell, that string out the window. And then I guess people are taking their are roller skating to the to mass. They'll see, if they see a bell, they'll ring it. But like by ringing that bell, what they're doing is yanking on your toe, which and also this is, you're doing this at night, and it's like, it's nice to think like, oh, people going to church are gonna like ring that little bell. But I don't know about you, the kind of kid I was, I would be terrified all fucking night. Like, what is this thing yanking on my toe? So that's the story I tell. I've gotten to see many of the other stories, and there are like, this is gonna sound like, of course I'm gonna say nice things because I want this anthology to do well, but to be completely honest, like I've been, I know some of the contributors, they're great artists and writers. The stuff has been blowing me away, like blowing me away how good it is, which is nice, but it's also like, this is one of my first anthologies. And I was like, oh fuck, I'm not even gonna, I guess there's stiff competition in here. So, yes, it's Yule. It's on Kickstarter. We're kickstarting it now. I think we've got 15 more days. So if you just type in Yule, it'll pop up. Or if you visit my like at the Villainist on Twitter, there's links to it. I've been linking to it every day. It's,
you guys are funded, right? I can't remember.
No, we're in the middle. I mean, we're in the middle of the fundraising. We had a really great, it was 1 weekend. We've had a great first week, but we still got, you know, still got a little ways to go.
Oh, okay. There's so many at this point, especially because I looked at it and I backed it and I was like,
oh, well, hey, now, like, thank you, guys.
I'm more shocked that stuff doesn't get funded. Yeah, I actually remembered. I didn't do my normal anxiety filled. I don't back it till the last day, even though they don't charge you. I'm always like, well, I don't want to put the funds into it right away, even though it never charges me. And then I'll occasionally forget to back something, and I will thought I did, and I did not.
I like to having run a few Kickstarters, I like to wait until week three when I call it the doldrums, because like, you know, in the beginning, you usually people are interested, and then like, you know, you have a couple, like every day, you know, oh, a couple more, and then you hit this point where like a day will pass and no one will back, and when you're the guy running it, that's nerve wracking. So I try to wait until third week, and then like, you know, because like it's always like, if, I feel like the mentality is if every day someone backs, then you're always okay. So like that's my strategy. Although I have also forgotten about a few and missed out. But you're right. Also, like, I feel like this year, I feel like I just had two from Europe or two from England, and like you were saying earlier about shipping. Oh my god! I was like,
yeah. I just had like three clear, because I think Cry Punch just cleared. They finished, so I got charged for that. And then I backed one of my first non-comic ones. There was a company that were making, like, have you ever seen those mag tiles for kids where you can like build things with magnetic tiles? This company made like large ones to build forts.
That's awesome.
And it's all made out of this like recycled material. And like, so you can build these like huge ass forts, and then like it all folds up under the bed because it's all these tiles. So I backed that. I think you got like 24 panels for like, that was like $200 or something. I don't remember, but I forgot about it, and it cleared today. Like, yeah, so it's been good. But yeah, I mean, it looks. I mean, I guess I'm biased because Jack is involved, but I don't feel like I'm biased because, like I've said numerous times on the show, I obviously enjoy you quite a lot as a person, but I generally think your art is fantastic, and kind of how we originally even Matt and talked was like my interest, I think, in that was like that your art was really good. And I think, like I said, Gun should be a lot more readily available to people. Like, I think it's fantastic. So I'm really excited for this. And like, you know, Ian's involved, who we're friends with, and I think it's a really great, and I mean, the idea is really interesting in general. That's always something that's
interesting. I'll say this. I don't really like Christmas is my least favorite holiday. Not sorry if we have any elves that follow, but I'm not totally nuts about Christmas. And in particular, I think like Christmas media is like, you know, like I like there's no fun, or I guess those old Rankin Bass ones are okay. I don't know. I tend to not like that. I got to see some of the like we had like a preview PDF go around, and I think as the campaign goes on, more art, mine will start to like come out, and other people's will too. It's really good. Like, and it's not just the art is good. Like, these stories are stories that, like, everyone's heard of the Krampus, so we're all kind of, like, clued in on that. But there was stuff, like, deeper than that. Like, the Bell story, I had never heard. I think people will be pleasantly surprised. I see a lot of anthologies, you know, like, it's usually a mixed bag. This is a great thing. And there he is.
I just got it. I found it sealed at the Salvation Army today.
And not that, you know, like, I think Krampus, I think, is the kind of like, it's the seasoning I want to bring to Christmas. So like, but I feel like we've all like he had his moment and we've all moved on. But that's why I say that like they're weird tales. So they're like they're weird tales. It's fun. It's good. It's really, yeah, really proud to be a part of. That's
like the misconceptions a lot of times with like anthology, especially like horror anthology. I don't like things aren't necessarily need to be like horrific in the sense like things can be creepy or unsettling or like a twist upon a general norm, and that is some of the more interesting stuff. And then a lot of times, like, than just a guy killing little kids on Christmas.
So. Also, yeah, I think that, like, I think we talked about this before, but, like, Hereditary was one of my favorite horror movies that's come out in a long time. And I would say, like, a separate conversation about the last 20 minutes of that movie, but the first, like, hour and 40 are not horrific. You know, they're just deeply unsettling. And not unsettling, I think, because, like, you know, blood is dripping down the walls. They're unsettling because, like, the, you know, for a lot of reasons, but, you know, emotional tensions and, yeah.
Yeah, that car scene, I mean, outside of the larger, like, again, kind of the end and how it all ties together, like, that being kind of, I think, more like the atypical horror.
Yeah.
Scene on its own and the, like, horror of the trauma of being the cause of that and going out, like, that on its own is like, was like, I stuck with me for so long and still has been one of the most like traumatic scenes in a movie I've seen. And I'm excited. And we'll, yeah, because I don't think we'll have, how many weeks do you have left?
15 days. So essentially 2 weeks from today.
All right. So maybe next episode. Well, yeah, if next episode will probably be, if you're listening to it audio-wise, it might be too late, but we might be in the like final day or two when we do it. But other than that, the show is at pages_panels. It's on iTunes and all that stuff. We've got some more ratings on iTunes, so that's good. I guess us not mentioning it has not... does not stop people from rating it, but you can do that. Rate and review, and that helps. I think that's it. We will update on, I'll probably update on the Kyle Overkill Twitter, and if I remember to do on Pages Panels what we're talking about next time, but it will be more aligned in what we were originally doing. We're talking about specific things that we enjoy, the greatest comic books of all time. And then as weeks happen and things come up, we can do these episodes, which are equally as fun, kind of covering more well, like last time was Invincible, and that was like a on point topic, and this one kind of looking at something we had talked about for a long time, and covering kind of that in a more general sense. But people talking about the Invincible show like it. They're fucking, I have not returned to it, but I see so many things that
it almost, I mean, you know what, if you like it,
do I need to watch it?
Although I will, like, yeah, so we'll fall back on the normal. If anybody has a suggestion, you know, like we did Secret Invasion here, if there's another, like, oh, it'd be fun if you guys did, you followed up on the Dark Reign.
Yeah, because I know you fucking people. I know I don't get aggressive here, but I know people listen to these episodes in the audio form because I see listener stats. So people listen. I don't have a problem with, I don't have a problem with anything. Obviously, you do what you want. And I don't care. But like, yeah. So if you're listening and you know you don't want to come watch on YouTube, I don't care. Like, it's easy. One, it's easier for me to do this editing wise, and that's a majority of the reason why I do it. But yeah, if you're listening and you want to hear us talk about something, yeah, definitely. Like, that's something in general. Like, I like recommendations because that's more things I can buy. I'm literally looking at a stack of like 40 books I've bought this month. Oh, I got a bonus at work, so fucking I unloaded on quite a bit. got into this like weird manga. Like, I've always liked manga, but I started watching like on YouTube, there's like BookTube, which is people who do book reviews and book hauls, which I got into. But then there's apparently MangaTube, which is the same thing, but for manga. So then I'm watching that. I've been watching people go on like manga haul videos, and I'm like, it's bad because like I just like, and now discovering all these things I didn't know about. So like today, I didn't know Old Boy was a manga. I don't know why I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Dark Horse put it out. It's long out of print now, but when I was recently in my shop down in Albany, in their manga section, they had like sealed copies of it. So I got like 3, 5, 6, 7, 8. So now I gotta track down 1, 2, and 4. But I'm watching people talk about it and like, oh, Old Boy is great and it's out of print. And then I was like, oh fuck, I gotta go. I was like, I saw that at the shop. I was like, I gotta go down there.
You know what, I over the pandemic, I've been slowly accumulating the so Dave McKean, the artist, did some covers for Hellboy from like the first issue of Hellboy to the 21st issue, and I kind of like getting like something in the mail, so like I enjoy the experience like going and getting the mail, and there's just, like a little present, like, oh hey, yay for me. So like my pandemic thing for like self-care or whatever you want to call it was like I pick up these and a couple other, like there were some other people, but particularly I had none of the Hellboy issues and slowly started to accumulate them, like a buck or two here. None of them were a buck. I think I could get them for like 2 or 3, mostly like on eBay. There were a few, I was able to find 2 for $5, which was great. And then number 11, strangely, which is a great cover, so it was like bittersweet, was couldn't find for less than 10. But then after finally accumulating all of them, I had to like bite the bullet and buy issue 1, which it's encouraging. Like, I'm happy that comics retain their value over time. Like, I have some that I'm, you know, like, you have them for a while. Like, I had Preacher for a while, and Preacher was, like, weirdly high for a while, and then, like, you know, now it's, like, a $2 comic. Or I don't know. I might be wrong. It may not be. But Hellboy 1 I could not find for less, like, you know, in a nice condition, for less than 50. And finally was able to get one for 45, and then that came in a few days ago. And it's, like, that thing that a collector, you know, like when you get the final, like, oh, the one that's been missing, you know, like, and it just goes into that slot, and you're like,
now what do you do with them?
Yeah, that would be. But it was, it's nice. I think,
it is
very satisfied. So, all right, 2 weeks, and we'll post our picks soon.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you can join us on YouTube or catch up on audio and get in touch with us, but thanks for listening. I'll end.